This week, we are continuing on our series with Jesus as our friend. This week, I want to talk about how Jesus is your wealthy friend. Now, I don't think about wealth in the form of money and different things like that, but the wealth of having a relationship with the Creator of the universe who revealed Himself to us through Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh and dwelt among us, and He has shown us the way to have life and have it more abundantly. So we're very, very wealthy to be a part of His creation and enjoy all the things that God has given to us. But I wanted to share this morning with things, and I wanted just to focus on a moment about how important true friends are. Now, most of you know, a few years ago, Judy was diagnosed with cancer for the first time. And most families, you expect families to step up and help, and our family certainly did. But her true friends also stepped up and helped her through that period of time. And one of the most beautiful friends that she has was Jesus, and He was very helpful because Jesus and His friends, the church, helped Judy through that period of time. And she beat cancer for the first time. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs. The cancer came back. And this time the doctor said, you know, Judy, we can probably do these treatments again and get rid of it, but the kind of cancer you have, it'll most likely come back. Now, I think you're a candidate for a stem cell transplant, which it turned out that she was. You know what's interesting about that? They used her own stem cells. It's an amazing medical procedures that they do now. And she beat cancer for the second time, and most likely the cancer will stay away. But during that period of treatment, which was very long, her number one friend was Jesus and His church and the support that was given to her. Oh, yeah, the family stepped up and helped too and everything like that. But her most important friend was Jesus. And by the grace of God, she beat cancer for the second time. And at this point in time, right now, she's cancer free. But that's the way it is with our friend Jesus. Because amidst the chaos and the confusion of life and medical stuff and everything, we see Jesus standing there, waiting for us to notice Him. And if we focus on the confusion and the corruption and the darkness and the wickedness that will overwhelm us, but if we look to remember towards Jesus and look to Him, trust Him to provide all that we need, He will give us tremendous reassurance in the face of chaos of everyday life. And we're not ignoring our challenges, that's for sure. We're just shifting our perspective, filling our vision with Him and what He can do. Now, it's not easy. In fact, it's more difficult to go through this stuff and take all the physical exercises and all of the determination and self-discipline that goes along with it. But, you know, I like the buts and the if, but growing stronger in the Lord takes even more to resolve. It involves living as a friend of Jesus. Paul's letter to the Ephesians helps us to see how it's done. As I shared with you, the first part of Ephesians in chapter 6 is putting on the whole armor of God. But Ephesians is a letter, and it begins on a note of high praise. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, if spiritual things don't mean much to us, this verse really doesn't have an impact. But if you believe in spiritual things and that they are real, and it's incredible to know that every spiritual blessing is available to us, it's not because of stature or education or influence or affluence or the church denomination, but because of Him, our friend Jesus. The declaration is every spiritual blessing is yours. Well, the throne of God, the first entire section of Ephesians is worth what God shares with us through Christ. And it looks different than worldly wealth, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul talked about riches of his grace, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his rich mercy, and the boundless riches of Christ, his glorious riches. And out of his riches, he bestows every spiritual blessings on you and I. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 goes on to describe it like this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to the sonship of Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Now, were it not for Jesus, you and I would have no opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. You'd be forever trapped in the kingdom of darkness. Yet, you were even born, you knew that. I hope you did, because God knew he wanted to adopt us and to make you his son or daughter, and it was his pleasure to do it all. Now, the passage continues in verses 7 and 8. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with his riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. Oh, yeah, we can find wealth beyond anything we could ever buy when we begin to embrace the forgiveness and recognize its cost, because Jesus paid the price. There's only one way to be redeemed from our doomed state in this old world, and that's through the blood of Christ. The blood that streaked down his face from the crown of thorns. The blood that dripped from his back, his hands, his feet. The blood that flowed from his pierced side. So when you and I talk to people about Jesus, I'm not trying to make them religious, and I'm not trying to change their habits. I wish we had that much control over people, places, and things, but we don't. But what I am trying to do is introduce them to my friend Jesus, who bled and died for them, paying for our sins with his own life. He's the same friend who now blesses us with every spiritual blessing from the heavenly places. He makes life so much better and so much richer. I think one of my most favorite aspects of the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 is how it speaks of God's grace being lavished upon us. Eugene Peterson said this. He said, God doesn't scrimp. Lavish is one of Paul's favorite words to describe the over-the-top abundance of God's unmerited favor. He blesses us. So why wouldn't we want to introduce people to a friend who will lavish grace on them and redeem them by his own blood? Paul continued in verses 9 and 10 in Ephesians. He said, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when times reach their fulfillment, and to bring unity to all things in heaven and under the earth with Christ. Now, all of this leads to the fact that the time as we know it will come to an end. And at a certain point in the future, history will be written in its last chapter. Unless the Lord comes for us first, our history will be recorded whenever we pass from this life to the next. But in the meantime, it's God's time. He created it. He is beyond time and above time. And in the same way, our spirits are not subject to time. They are eternal. Now, our bodies, on the other hand, have a countdown clock. I don't know what it is, but I know we have one of those, and that lasts for 70, 80, maybe even 100 years. I don't know. Some people get to be 100. But the Lord has an answer for that, too. When he comes to resurrect his people, he will bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. God knows how to bring the dead to life and give them glorified bodies. He will bring everything, the physical, the spiritual, the earth, the heavens, and time, and eternity, and together under his rule and reign. Now, Jesus will be supreme over everything in heaven and earth. You might want to be his friend. Why would you choose any other friend? Well, you certainly don't want to choose the adversary, that's for sure. So I'll tell you the reason, I think, and this is just Ralphie, I think that people reject him being Jesus, that they're determined to be in charge of their own life and do as they please. And friendship with Christ involves his lordship. And if you're not willing to let Jesus be Lord of your life, it's because you prefer to be your own chief authority. And you can make that choice. That's certainly your choice. But he loves you enough to give you that freedom of choice. But the counsel of Scripture is to make peace with him, because ultimately he will be the supreme over everything. I think it's better to be friends with the one who brings things together and who is in charge. When Merlin Cauthers was a military chaplain, a soldier came to him who was facing dishonorable discharge and prison for using and dealing drugs while he was in the military. He said, "Chaplain, I made a mess of my life, but I think it's too late to change." His eyes were dark and desperate. But Carruthers said, "What about God? He got the power to change you." With a shrug, the soldier said, "Why should he? I never done anything for him." "He loves you," said the chaplain. "He sent Jesus to take the punishment for everything that you've done, and he can heal you." Well, after more discussion with the soldier finally agreed to try Jesus. And the chaplain placed his hands on the boy's head and he prayed, "Heavenly Father, thank you for loving this boy and drawing him near to you. Now send your Holy Spirit to help him believe that you've been working in every dark and lonely moment of his life, and he is bringing himself to you." When the chaplain finished praying, there was something new and bright in the soldier's eyes. It was very strange. The young man said, "You know, chaplain, for some reason I really do believe that God has taken everything bad that ever happened to me and is working it for my good." And he began crying. And then he himself prayed and looked up to heaven and declared, "I don't need drugs anymore. Jesus now lives in me." So when we insist on being the commander of our own lives, I think sooner or later we'll say, "You know, I made a mess of my life, and it's too late to change." But our best friend Jesus says, "Oh, no. It's not too late. I can redeem you. My blood will lavish you with my grace, and I will give you wealth beyond anything you could possibly or physically own here on this earth. My spirit is in your heart, and eternity is with me." And then in verse 11 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Notice that. He works out everything. That sounds a lot like Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures. "And we know that all things God works together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." Now, I've had moments in my life, and I'm sure that you have too, when I said, "God, I don't see any way for this good thing to happen to me." And his answer always comes back to me, "That's why I'm the creator and you're not. Ah, keep on moving." And I love what it says in the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God, and I can work things out." Well, in the meantime, I hope and pray that we can praise God for the blessings, with every spiritual blessings, through our generous friend, Jesus of Nazareth. He has given us his abundant and glorious grace and love, and he continued to work at all things for good in our life. His riches are beyond our reckoning, and we are wealthy in him. Oh, as we sing that beautiful hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." I hope and pray you know my friend, but if you don't, I want to introduce him to you. It's a very simple little thing that you can say, "Hey, I want to be your friend. Would you be my friend?" And Jesus will always respond, "Yes, I want to be in your life and to be Lord over it." And it's a simple prayer for simple people. "I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. And I know that I heard everything about your friend Jesus. And if it's all true, Jesus, and they tell me it is, then I want to be your friend and you be my friend for the rest of eternity in Jesus' precious name. hope and pray you're having a good day. And have a good day and fellowship with your good friend, Jesus of Nazareth. He loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed day. Come to church soon. We miss you.